1、2、3。
Hello everyone, welcome to the Voices in Japan podcast with Matt and myself hosting, and we have a special guest today, Miyoko.
Miyoko, hello.
Hello. Hi.
Miyoko has just helped me out big time. I've just met her and already I've been asking if I think I just got scammed online. through a Netflix scam saying that my thing wasn't approved. Anyway, so I had to cancel my credit card. My Japanese isn't good, and Miyoko's just stepped up and helped me out. Thank you very much.
Miyoko saved Matt, so now they already have a connection. First time they've met. Miyoko's been on the podcast before. Do you remember, Miyoko, when you were on? It was...
Yes, I do remember, yeah.
When was that? Summer?
Possibly summer. I do remember the vaguely what I talked about, and maybe something unexpected came out. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't need to remind this.
I could tell to listeners and the viewers to go back and listen to that podcast. I think it was talking about Japanese stereotypes,
yeah.
Right? I remember. A very interesting podcast, so please check that out.
Yep.
We're going to begin with Matt has some questions.
I do. Well, last week we talked about 10 Japanese experiences that tourists must try on their first trip to Japan. And I'm just curious if you have you experienced Japan?
What do you mean by experiencing Japan?
So there are 10 things that foreigners should try. I'm just curious if you've tried them.
Yeah, I want to know.
Okay, so number 10 was, have you ever visited a themed cafe, like a cat cafe, a maid cafe, or like a robot cafe?
No.
Okay.
No. Is there a reason why you haven't done that? Not something you'd want to do?
Well, I don't know. It's not my thing. It's just visiting a place to... like a cat cafe, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they are well paid. Like cats have agreed to work.
Oh, I see.
You know? What kind of contract do they have? Like, have they agreed to that?
To be exploited.
Have you communicated with the cat and got the consent? We don't know, right?
What about the maids?
I don't want
the maid cafes. That could be even worse, right?
Yeah.
All right, that was number 10. Number 9 on the list was, have you ever worn a kimono?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Now, my question is, when would you wear your kimono? You obviously have a kimono.
Yeah.
And you've had that for a long time.
Well, I think nowadays people just rent because to purchase one is too expensive, but you don't wear it often enough.
Yeah.
So maybe people borrow it. But because of my family background, mm-hmm. my mom comes from the countryside and sort of traditional. So she has many kimonos. So then I did wear it because she's got these maybe traditional values, wearing kimono at certain special occasions, rites of passage is for her important. So I was put on kimono, not I decided to wear kimono.
I see. She'll say wear this. What events are we talking about here?
Shichigo-san, 753. So you'd celebrate the age 3 and 7 for girls and 5 mm-hmm. for boys. And for the rites, coming of age ceremony.
Okay, here's a question for you, Miyoko. So I see how Japanese you really are. What do you know why Shichigo-san is important, or where does it come from?
Is it something Chinese?
No, it's not. It's to do with Japanese history. I'm just wondering if you know about...
Ben researched this. He knows it.
Yeah, wow. I would like to know. I don't know.
So a long time ago, not sure when, but, in the days when people wouldn't live so long. So 3 years old was a celebration of their children living to 3 years old. So they go to the shrine and be thankful to the gods, and then 5 and 7 too, because it was rare for children to live that long.
I see. I see. But what happens afterwards?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Yeah, yeah.
Ben?
Yeah. Your turn to research that one.
Okay, so the children wears the kimono at 3 years old, 5 years old, and 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Coming of age, when you reach 20, you wore a kimono then. Is there any other times? Do you wear it at funerals and you don't wear it? Would you wear it at a wedding ceremony?
I wouldn't. I would just put on a Western nice dress because you see, just to wear it, I can't wear it myself. I have to have somebody to.
Exactly right.
It costs money too.
Yeah. If we gave you a kimono now and said put it on, you wouldn't be able to?
I would be able to, but I would look really lousy. I wouldn't look good.
I'm very surprised you didn't wear a kimono for this special occasion being on the podcast.
I didn't.
So they're the only times you wear a kimono. What about a special, like a birthday or anything like that?
I did wear one when I went to opera. That was and also New Year opera. So that was like, for me, was special.
Okay,
so
yeah, cool.
What would that be? Would that be in Kitara in Nakajima Koen? You talking about that?
That was when I was still living in Tokyo. Right. I don't know how often opera gets performed in Sapporo.
I think they always have it around like New Year, Christmas. They have some special, well, not opera, like orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Opera's the singing, right? Mm. I guess, I don't know.
So I guess it's equivalent of like maybe wearing a tux or something like that for a special evening out. It'd be really cool if you wore it in Australia to go to the opera or something, because that'd be really interesting for other people to see, I think. Mm. The kimono. The other ones were, have you ever been to the sumo wrestling?
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. That's one. It's two. Two out of three.
Not bad. Three.
What, did you enjoy the sumo?
I enjoyed more than seeing the wrestlers. I enjoyed the food they serve.
Yeah, you get like, a little bento box,
yeah,
don't
bento
you?
Box.
Right. Yeah.
It's like nothing too special about it, but like this, it really adds a special feeling to viewing experience.
So what do you get?
I get a skewered chicken, like chicken bowl. And also at that time I went, there is a dessert called mitsumame, like algae jelly and with beans and sweet red bean. And also I got the big, chestnut.
Oh.
And also a huge chocolate shaped of sumo
wrestler. So everyone gets this bento?
No, I think you would buy a different package. So maybe some people's seat come with meal.
Yeah, we got the bento thing, the box. I can't remember what was in it.
If you're like nosebleed seats, you're getting like a packet of crisps or something. And an onigiri.
And I do have to correct something. Ben made a mistake last week.
Quite common.
I'm going to test you here. When the sumo wins, right? He squats down. He assumes the sonkyo position, it's called.
So squat.
The squats down. Then the gyoji, meaning judge.
Yeah.
He places the envelope with the money on his war fan and gives it to the winner. And the winner then performs an action with his hand.
Yeah.
Do you know what action that is?
It's like thank you.
Yeah, to who?
To the support. To who?
Okay, I'll tell you right now. He makes a series of gestures that means a thank you to the three gods of creation.
The three gods of
creation? I didn't know. I thought we had like 8 million gods.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know. Like, it sounds like Trinity.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't... Yeah, I want to ask... Who is the Holy Spirit?
Father? I'm not religious, so I'm maybe mad at that one.
I'm not, no. I'm the Holy Spirit. Ben's the ghost. And Berk's the father. But the three gods of creation, which I've read here, is maybe, I don't know, does this ring any bells? Ame nomi na kanushi no kami. Taka mimusubi no kami. And kami musubi no kami.
No, I've never heard of this.
Okay,
well, I read three gods of creation.
Apparently, God. Wow. Maybe I'm.
Wait. So, where is the woman?
Where's the woman?
Yeah, I mean, like.
The goddess.
Oh, the goddess.
It's just like gave me an impression they're all male gods. Or do they even have like sex? Are they men?
I don't know. Maybe they're... Maybe
That's
they're...
a good question too.
Because like three people making baby. Like...
Are those names... male or female names?
I think that sounds very much like a male name.
Okay. Maybe. Well, maybe I should look into it again, but that's what I read on this very detailed sumo article. And that's they chop first left, then on the right, and then finally in the middle. Then he takes the envelope and then he does a horizontal cut with his hand.
What does that horizontal cut symbolize?
I don't know.
It means open the envelope and get my money.
I thought it was kokoro, the kanji for kokoro, but maybe not.
Yeah, where did you get that from?
I don't know. I heard about that. Anyway, that was Ben's error. other things that foreigners would try was visiting a temple. Staying at a temple.
Staying, yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No.
No? Okay. Would you want to?
I'd like to give it a try. Yes.
Yeah.
We kind of said that, like sleeping over and not using electronic devices, eating vegetarian.
Maybe we should do a pod from a temple. Ooh. How's that sound?
But you can do that because I have lived in Africa for some time. You can do that without going to a temple, having no electricity.
Right.
And like not to have meat, you know. You can do that.
Yeah. Well, there's an actual day. A no electronic device international day that it actually exists.
Oh, nice.
I'm not sure when it is, but we always try to kind of tell our students to give it a go.
Oh, that's so nice.
But they're always like, nah, they can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's quite liberating and a nice experience to make the day different.
Yeah. What else was on that list? Visiting an onsen, obviously, you've done.
Yeah.
Hanami. Go to Hanami.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You've done that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You've done most of the things on that list then.
Yeah. But does that, if you've done, okay, so if I am a foreigner, those are the things I would.
Yeah, it's like a Japanese.
Recommended things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To try.
And number one was go to an onsen.
Okay.
Out of all those things.
I was very surprised when I was at Scotland. Mm-hmm. People couldn't possibly visualize people naked and bathing together.
Mm.
Is it something so weird? Something you wouldn't imagine if you have
it. I think it is. Before I came to Japan, I never knew what onsen was or heard about it.
Mm.
And then when I did hear about it, I thought it was a joke. When my friends were like, right, get naked. I thought they were just, fucking with me or something. Because I went down to my underwear and then started putting my swim shorts on. What are you doing? I think it's quite alien.
I guess it's not Australian culture to have an onsen. But I mean, there's a Turkish baths. There's that.
They don't get.
They don't.
They don't walk around with their knobs hanging out though.
Really?
They have like a towel.
But onsens, you wear a towel. Don't you?
But it's like kind of a
cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Scandinavian countries have onsens.
Right.
But they don't go in naked. Right. I think in Norway, Finland, places like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't take you long to get used to the idea.
Just one time. Yeah, one time for me. But I was telling Matt before, when my friends came to visit, they didn't want to go into the onsen because they didn't feel comfortable getting naked with each other.
When I went with Ben, though, he just stood in the corner in a trench coat just staring at me.
My sunglasses.
And you wouldn't even... I said, Ben, what are you doing? He just wouldn't say anything. He just stared at me and was... gibbering something.
That's what I do. Isn't that what you do at onsen?
Just watch people. What are we talking about today, Benjamin?
We found quite an interesting article, right?
We did.
You read it as well, Matt.
I did.
It was by the BBC.
The British Broadcasting
Corporation. This was written in January. And sent this to Miyoko. Want to get her opinion on this thing. But the title of the article was Japan Was the Future, But It's Stuck in the Past. So the guy who wrote it was an English guy, And I think he was leaving Japan, it said, like at the beginning. He'd been there for 10 years as a correspondent for the BBC, and he it's time to leave. He sounded a little bit bitter, I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think? You probably had a terrible time over. You probably got divorced or something while he was over.
Yeah. But it sounded like he was kind of bashing Japan quite a bit.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things he was saying, I kind of agreed with a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, right, I can see that. I can see that.
Mm.
But I just wanted to think, like, what do Japanese people think of these ideas that a lot of foreigners kind of have this impression of? And I don't know whether Japanese people feel the same way about that.
Mm.
Mm.
Did you read the article?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular, Matt, that stood out for you? To begin with?
No, I thought it was all kind of interesting. Yeah, and I could kind of relate to some of it.
At the beginning, the first part was titled, In Japan, Houses Are Like Cars. So he was saying, as soon as you move in, your new home is worth less than what you paid for it. And then when you finish paying off your mortgage, it's worth almost nothing, which... yeah, I can understand that because I bought an apartment and I know when I finish paying off the mortgage, I'm going to lose all my money.
Is that true? I mean, don't houses in the center of Sapporo, wouldn't they go
they
up?
They might hold their value.
Oh.
I don't know. What do you think, Miyoko?
Well, I think all the houses, like, it tend to go down. You wouldn't get as much as you, like, paid for. That's the impression I get.
Mm.
Like if you bought a house or you made a new house and then by the end of your mortgage, it'll be worth almost nothing.
Mm. Unless that the land starts to have, like, for some reason,
exactly,
would, like...
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, so it's the land that would stay the same.
Yeah, land. Or could possibly go up by depending on what kind of development that happens in the neighborhood. Apart from that, for the house, use the old house, I don't think people would especially pay.
So because of that, would you buy a house? Or have you bought a house?
No, I haven't bought a house.
Would you buy one? Knowing that your house would be worth nothing?
Well, for me, that the challenging part would be I don't know where I'd like to be settled. So it's hard to, like, own a house. And this is where I would, like, permanently want to be. It's hard for me. So I haven't thought about buying one.
If you want to, you could give me your credit card details and I'll help you out.
So you're from Tokyo.
Yeah.
And now you live in Sapporo.
Yeah.
Where else have you lived in Japan?
Okayama.
Okayama. Heard of
Okayama
that.
Okayama is near Shikoku, Inland Sea. Inland Sea.
Yeah.
So that's not too close to Hiroshima. But that sort of area, I had lived there once.
Mm. Okay.
I've been to Hiroshima. I really like that place.
Mm.
Is there, so far, which place would you like to live at the moment? Because you said you haven't decided where you would like to kind of settle.
Oh, but
or would you not want to settle?
Over Japan, like places I've visited in Japan, I really like Hokkaido.
Oh.
So I really do like Hokkaido. Mm. In Japan, like, I don't, it's really nice, but maybe I'd think of outside Japan, if not.
Melbourne?
Melbourne, yes.
Have you been to Melbourne before?
Yeah, I was an exchange student for 1 year.
Ah,
yeah,
Melbourne. There. I've never been to Australia, but I do.
You're not welcome, Ben.
I don't want to go.
Come along.
I was going to finish my sentence. I like the Australian Open, the tennis. They just finished that.
They just did, didn't they?
And that's in Melbourne, right? And it looks very nice and hot there at the moment. Mm,
super hot summer. But yeah, come down, man. I'll take you out.
For a barbie.
for a shrimp on the barbie, even though we call them prawns. back to this article. It starts off with saying, you know, Japan's the world's third largest economy. It's a peaceful, prosperous country. With the longest life expectancy in the world. The lowest murder rate. That's one thing pretty amazing about Japan, just the, how safe it is, I guess. There's little political conflict. A powerful passport. If you're Japanese, you can go almost anywhere in the world with no trouble. And they got the world's best high-speed rail network. But for decades, Japan has been struggling with a sluggish economy, held back by deep resistance to change and a stubborn attachment to the past. The population is aging and shrinking, and it says Japan is stuck.
Yeah, well, what were you just saying, Matt, about the Japan is stuck?
Yes.
And a reason for that was saying that the people that make the decisions are usually very old and old-fashioned in their views. So they've been very kind of resistant to immigration.
Yeah, like a way we don't want to open the door.
Yeah, to solve the aging population crisis.
Mm.
What I mean, do you think that's a good solution, or do you think that would help? And I don't know if like most Japanese, what would most Japanese feel like? I try to talk to some of my Japanese friends and students about it, but they don't really want to talk about it. It's always that they seem to be quite reluctant to talk about politics.
Is it, are they reluctant, or they just don't know much about it, so they don't have much to say about it?
It could be that too.
I don't think it's like they would want to.
But it's like they didn't have an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like, but if you don't want to talk about it, you could still have an opinion, right?
Yes,
but
certainly.
They were just like, I don't know, kind of thing. Or they just didn't want to talk about it. Yeah.
So you got an impression. It's not that they do have a certain opinion, but they don't want to share.
Mm, yeah, that's how I felt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I was wondering, I don't know what to...
I find it, with my colleagues, compared to, like, people abroad, people don't talk
not
about...
passionate about politics.
The politics. People don't, like, discuss their position. Mm. We don't talk about it.
Mm. Yeah, not like Americans. They love it, don't they?
Yeah, well, same as Australians, you know. When I talk to my dad, they're always annoyed at the government and what they're doing and da-da-da. But I don't really... You know, I obviously don't talk to a lot of Japanese people about politics in Japan.
It's like especially younger people have like no hope in like whoever we choose, like nothing, exactly. It's gonna be the same, so people don't vote. It's also like the major difference is that it's not compulsory for us to vote. Certain countries make it compulsory to go voting, right?
Well, Australia, it's compulsory to register.
But you
don't have to actually vote.
You can you don't have to.
No, mm-hmm. Or you can just write, draw something on the paper, and then just toss that in.
Yeah, you can. You can do even a no vote, right?
It's like exactly.
England, vote for a no party. Mm-hmm. So it's the same as like not voting.
Mm-hmm. But at least, like no vote is also an expression of like what you believe or what you want to support. Oh. So it's different from not having an opinion.
Yeah. Mm. So in Japan, you would say, like, a lot of young people don't even
just don't
voting.
Go. Don't. It's so low, like, written.
I mean, Ben and I, we have permanent residency here, but we're not allowed to vote.
Yeah, that kind of exclusion is so strange. It's kind of related to this article.
Yeah.
Like, we need foreign labor, we need people, so we need you, but we don't want to give you certain benefits that is entitled to Japanese, even if you are permanent resident.
That's right.
You should have a say in how this country is run, because you're very much part of the... like society and the community,
especially as a permanent resident,
and you pay tax,
exactly,
right?
Pay a lot of taxes,
but we're not Japanese, and I guess the fear is that we're gonna take over the culture, you know. And hey, you should wear board shorts in this onsen, you know. So there's that fear of change, I think, you know. Mm.
That's what Oscar said, a lot of fear of change.
But at the same time, we are very open and welcome to, like, a cultural, like, soft power. we welcome those like foreign media and artists and movies. We are happy to consume our clothing, wedding style. All of that we would be taking in, right? But for certain elements, we would say no. And who are these people?
The old people.
Because there is a...
We have like a large aging population, like aged people. Maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
If our country had more people.
Younger people. Yeah, I think
younger
that's...
People.
Yeah,
younger people. Younger people in power.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the governor of Hokkaido, he's kind of young,
he's
right?
He's young.
38, 39,
Yeah.
I find that with many of the companies, you know, you get these old guys, you know, sort of clinging onto the company and they just don't accept change or any new ideas or any innovative ideas. This is a generalization, but kind of what I was
saying. Just have to wait until, what, they die, basically.
Yeah, like it's
But you have the oldest, was it, the longest lifespan in the world. It's tough.
It's like a natural selection. Maybe it's like something maybe politically not so correct to say, but that's why maybe pandemics happen for us, like to regulate the population after time to time. You know? It has to happen. Like it does happen if you look back in the history. It's happening. Like no matter how much like scientifically and medically advanced we are, it happens. And maybe it's necessary for the healthy
to maintain to kill off the weak.
It's more like that movie Logan's Run, where they kill him off at 30 years old, rebirth. But I mean, also with your government too, it's very kind of insulated. It's all families from generation to generations, and they don't seem to kind of live in the real world. I find that with a lot of maybe governments around the world, I guess. But you said even if you voted out the party that's in power now, which is what, the LDP, and then you vote in the other party, they're still exactly the same, all the same thing, right?
Yeah.
The same people, same family members. So what is it like? Shinzo Abe's grandfather, I think, was a prime minister.
Yeah.
And maybe his great-grandfather.
Do you vote? It's a personal question, but do you or...
Well, that's another thing, right? A lot of Japanese people don't like to talk about who they support, right?
Uh-huh.
I remember...
I've never asked somebody. Sorry, is that a rude question?
No, it's not a rude question.
No?
I do. Well, yeah. But if I'm not excited about somebody, I would like to look at like what the policies they're like promoting.
Of course.
And if something that clicks with my view, then
so
I'd like.
So screaming on those little trucks around the streets, you're like, yes, yes, that's.
I don't understand
people.
For those listening in Japan, politicians do not go on TV and they don't answer questions from reporters, correct? And they don't go on TV and just talk about their proposals or their ideas, you know.
There's no debates, is there?
Is there a debate?
No, there isn't like a very official one, but they sometimes come and
it's
talk.
It's very structured,
isn't it? Yeah.
But they talk to the people, right? They go out into the streets.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
But
cool.
Like oftentimes what we come across in these like campaign cars, they just shout their name and so what? Like
say, onegaishimasu.
Like so what do you do? What are you going to do for us? We don't know. We just not hear their name, right?
So when they do come out into the streets and they've got their van and everything, and people can go and talk to them, right, and ask them questions. Or
they just drive past.
No, they don't. They just drive past, right? You don't stop them.
Yeah.
They would all, the best they would do is wave.
From the car.
I put my fingers in my ears when I look angry.
They're loud.
Maybe their first policy should be, we're going to stop noisy cars with speakers on them.
Well, it should kind of be illegal, right? Like, forcing people to listen to noise.
Yeah.
Because in England, that's considered noise pollution.
Yes,
you could,
it is.
You could, like, if your neighbour is being too loud, you can call the police
and
get them arrested maybe. But you can't do that to a politician in Japan.
Yeah, so for those listening, in Japan, so the politicians aren't in the media so much. So the way they get their name out is to drive around in these small vans with speakers screaming into microphones. Right.
Yeah, when is that? There's like a season for that, right?
Yeah.
Is
that, you start seeing gone. The posters. And,
yeah, mm-hmm. Right, like in the summer maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else do we have? We have young Japanese people are less likely to be married or have children these days.
Mm.
There's been quite a few articles on about, you know, young people marrying less these
marrying
days.
Marrying less, yes.
Or even wanting to be married.
Yeah.
Even not wanting to have a partner, even. Like high school students and university students.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been a lot of...
Is this a worldwide problem, though, do you think, or is it...
I don't know.
Is it?
Have you been reading stuff about other countries too?
No. The same I mean, I think...
The marriage thing is.
But yeah.
I'm not sure about not having a partner. I spoke to some students, some high school students, and that a lot of them were quite happy to just be single. Like they didn't want a boyfriend or girlfriend because it was too stressful. They actually enjoyed just being single and free.
They've already been there, done that, and
they've had enough. Or they've heard the stories. I don't know. Yeah, but even not even just high school students, even kind of people around 30s, 20s, 30s.
I do hear that if you're spend too many years living alone,
you get used to
living by yourself, and it could be stressful to
Yeah, I kind of miss living by myself.
let's move out there. Let's share together.
It is stressful living with people, isn't it? Yeah.
Also in the place that the apartments are so small, right? Mm. And everything is kind of compartmentalized.
And the pandemic exacerbated that, right? Because living in, a small place with your family 24/7. So what do you think, Miyoko, of the younger Japanese kind of, not having children or not getting married?
Yeah, I'm actually very surprised when I talk to students at my school. They, so many of them, clearly not want children. I thought it's still, a choice of a few and not, majority. But possibly that the students I'm seeing are PhD students. They're pursuing their research career. So could be different from it may not be the representative of the majority. But I get surprised they don't want to have children. So if all of my friends don't want to have children, who is...
Yeah.
Where do we get babies?
Yeah, as Elon Musk was predicting, I think he said Japan will be extinct in 150 years or something.
Elon Musk.
What did I say?
No, I was just checking. Because he's on it. So Japan, population 125 million, and is estimated to have had fewer than 800,000 births last year. In the 1970s, that figure was more than 2 million. He's trying to bring out, he's trying to raise taxes, is he, to encourage?
Not to raise taxes, give subsidies to support the people with the children.
But to pay for that, he has to raise the income taxes.
The
city tax or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm. I heard he was going to offer... is it 1 million yen per child or something for every family?
Okay.
So that's not too bad, right?
Right.
That's $10,000 per child.
$10,000 a child? Then what? Put it onto... Nothing. Forget about
that. Put it on my tab?
Yeah, and this guy, he's worried about the future of Japan. Are you worried about the future of Japan?
No, I'm not.
There you go.
I don't.
Done.
I see, I don't feel.
It's just changed, you know? It's just gone through.
Yeah. And also, like, it talked about, it's not the, we are not seeing the future that he's expected. But he kind of like had that vision in the past, and now it's like right now is most present, and like what he thought of to be the future is
his vision was probably he was expecting Japan to be the number one superpower, like what America is now, I guess.
But see, that's also like this idea of like people to aspire to become number one or to be economically prosperous as a success or to what we want to be is not necessarily what we would like in today's society. People may want to like not focus on like economical growth, but people could be seeking richness in a different form. It's not just like about how much money you make. That's so people are redefining what it means to be happy, to be wealthy. So I think he's outdated.
Vote him out. Vote him out.
Maybe he's Japanese.
There he is.
Posing as an Englishman.
There's also another interesting article. Talking about the hostility to immigration, how it hasn't wavered. It says 3% of Japan's population is foreign-born compared to 15% in the UK. But it's not as ethnically pure as people might think. There's Ainu in Hokkaido, Okinawans in the south, and 500,000 ethnic Koreans and close to 1 million Chinese. And there are many bicultural kids known as hafu or halves. I'm a hafu, actually.
Yeah, I think most people
My dad's British and my mum's Australian.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
On that, is it okay? I interrupted. So he's taking this term half, used as a pejorative term, but I don't think so. Like, it's maybe how it sounds to non-Japanese person, but when Japanese people are calling somebody hafu, there is no like such a negative feeling. It's like if the pizza is half and half, it's like nothing is bad about the pizza's like.
It's just flavor. Pointing out an observation.
It's just like,
right?
I think that's how we are just describing, and just his like perspective is making him feel like this is a pejorative term. So he's suffering from this.
I think the problem is people don't like to be labeled as something, you know.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And then, oh, that's what that kind of person is.
And also, like you just mentioned, like Ainu people, Okinawan people, not just like me, that is not apparently having Ainu father or mother. Like I must be mixed with so many different, like Chinese people, Korean people, the blood must be in me.
Yeah,
like it's just, I mean, we are all mixed.
It's a good point.
it's kind of weird how, you know, we are all mixed through our generations of families, but now people don't really see it that way. It's like all about appearance and the color of your skin rather than, you know, your actual blood.
Maybe eventually we'll all just be one sort of
neutral color, transparent. we'll all be invisible.
What did you think of the article? Do you think he was... Was he making valid points?
Oh yeah, I thought certainly he made that point in a sense that we are like too close. Then as I was mentioning, though we would need that foreign labor people from outside, we are very much depending on it, but we are not giving like benefits to the people who deserve, but we would like still be depending on it. I think that's not fair and that needs to change. So to that, I agreed. Other things.
I remember when I was when we were talking before, Miyoko, before we started recording, and you said something like after you read it, it made you kind of think about these issues, that you didn't really think about these as problems before.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of other people probably don't really think about them too.
Yeah, I think like he seemed to be concerned about the future of like my country, but I don't feel...
Other people are.
Like, I don't feel I have some responsibility or I can do something about the future of Japan. We don't know where we go.
Mm.
But, yeah.
So, do you think Japan are in a... Like, the way he's saying Japan is now, and it sounds quite bleak, do you kind of agree with him at where Japan is now? Like, can you see it around you, and do you feel... those things that he's kind of talking about?
Maybe not so much because I am attracted to exciting people who like to be different and like to do things differently. So I'm not feeling that so much. And also, I also believe that if I don't like what I'm seeing, like, or the community I'm in, I can still, like, do something to change it, or I can make that happen, like, at least around me. So I don't need to be stuck in the thing. Like, I'm not put in a situation and I possibly. Mm. So I have a hope.
Yeah. So you can just, like, surround yourself with people that are more positive thinking, right?
Yeah. Oh, like willing to, happy to make changes. Mm.
Yeah. Like the, you know, people always say if you're around a lot of negative people all the time, it kind of makes you negative too, right? So maybe surround yourself with positive people. That's what I try to do. Still trying to get rid of Matt, but still sticks around.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add, Matt, before we wrap up?
No.
All right.
I just thank you again for helping me out today. You know, like I think as a foreigner living in Japan, it's still challenging for me. Mm. Like. Just stuff like today, having to cancel that credit card and trying to, you know, to get a new one.
Has it inspired you to study more?
yeah. But it's, yes.
Studying's hard.
It is.
Hard. I bought a new textbook.
Did you?
Yeah. So I'm going to start studying next week.
Okay. Yeah, I should start studying Japanese more.
Well, your wife's studying, right? You can study together.
Yeah. Yeah, your English is very, very good. It's better than Ben's, that's for sure.
It's because she studied in Melbourne. Australia.
No Australian accent, though, really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you keep using English in your everyday life?
Well, with my friends, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you studied in Melbourne for 1 year.
Yeah.
Is that the only time you did?
No, I also did my master's in Coventry, so in England.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you told me. Yeah, you must have forgotten.
Yeah. Ben doesn't remember much of what people tell him. Ben's like a goldfish.
Why? Goldfish is known for having poor memory.
Yeah,
they forget.
We would like say like chicken, who they walk 3 steps, they forget.
Oh, I see.
Goldfish just swims around in circles.
Yeah. But we'd love to get you back on more often if that's cool.
Yeah, I'm very happy to. But like, don't you want something fresh? Like,
well, you don't have to come on every week. Once every few months, you know, something like that.
By the time your goldfish audience forgets about
me. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Or we can just give you a different name, you know, they won't notice.
But I mean, we look at Japan, we have a very different experience, you know, rather than you do, of course, because we look at from a kind of an outside point. It's kind of an inside, but we're always outsiders.
Yeah.
And
do you feel like you ever get accepted?
Never. No.
By Japanese people?
No, I don't think so.
I don't feel that too. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like there's always a barrier that Japanese people have, like whether it's my friends or coworkers, that they'll never kind of accept me into their group. Fully. I don't know what it is. It's just a feeling that I get. You get that feeling as well, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, yeah,
I don't know if maybe it's a language thing. Could be a language barrier.
But I do find the Japanese people I do get on with best and I think this probably goes as a global thing, you know, is Japanese people have traveled and spent at least a year or two overseas.
Hmm.
And those people I can connect with a lot better.
Hmm.
Mm.
I think everybody should travel. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minimum a year somewhere else, you know, it's just opens your mind, it broadens you out, makes you more
That's
accepting.
That's like something we are sticking to, one of the old like practice or the thing we tradition we are following is like we don't have gap year, like people take
you don't do that
if you are off the like rail, we call it like then. Like, you have to explain what you were doing, like, in between or why you didn't, like, not,
doing
like,
drugs
immediate.
On the beach in Thailand.
Oh, expanding my mind.
But it's but kind of frowned upon, right?
Hmm?
It's like, it's
yeah,
not a positive
thing. Yeah, but that would make our, like, society and economy, like, prosper so much more if we have people with these
outside,
experiences.
Exactly.
Right, but it's not the encouragement.
You should be empowered, Miyoko. Yeah. You should run for prime minister.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Japanese kids, they finish high school, they go straight into university, and they go straight into a job. They don't travel, or I don't know what percentage, but I'd say a huge percent do not travel.
Or if they travel, it'll be like...
For 3 days or 4 days or something.
Yeah, it's not like a long, like a year break or 6 months or something like that.
But you traveled through study.
I traveled through study, yes. And I also like to go to a very different place from my culture. That's why I ended up in Africa as well.
Yeah, yeah, I've been to Africa. It's an amazing place. That's why I came to Japan. Pardon?
Where did you go?
I went to Namibia.
Namibia.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, yeah, I think you should go, man.
I want to go to Africa one day. Yeah. I've been to North Africa, Morocco, but I think that's quite different.
It's such a, each country's got its own thing, right? So I think it's an amazing continent. I tell my high school kids, travel, like get out of here and go see the world.
I say that to my students. They're like, I don't want to travel. They don't want to like leave the country.
Mm.
They feel, a lot of them feel like the outside of Japan is so dangerous. Like a lot of my students think that. Because Japan is so safe. And probably the country that they will go to will be more dangerous than Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are quite afraid of that.
Hope you did just slap them. And then
yeah, but before you went, like if you have been abroad and traveled and had that experience, then I can understand that they would be more wary. But even before trying and experiencing it, how can they be so convinced like that's what's going to happen?
They just hear like stuff on the news, you know, of like Japanese people being kidnapped, for example. Like when, you know, they'll hear like one story of a couple, you know, and that's it. They think, oh, that happens to everyone.
Yeah.
But you do, I mean, I did a kind of a world trip and I did meet a few Japanese people like just sort of on the road.
I met a few, back in the day. But yeah, I definitely heard that less people want to leave Japan, like the younger generation. Hopefully that will change.
I think so.
Well, thanks again, Miyoko, for coming on. Had a really good time.
Thank you for helping me.
You saved Matt a lot of money, I think. Well, we'll catch you next time, everyone. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This episode was brought to you by The Red House, located in the heart of Rizutsu Ski Resort, just across the main road, and it's behind the Seiko Mart convenience store. The restaurant features a mix of Japanese, Asian fusion and Western style dishes, including shabu shabu with Wagyu beef and Hokkaido Wagyu beef steak. Open winter and summer, 12 to 3 p.m. for lunch, 5 to 9 p.m. for dinner, with prices ranging from under 1,000 yen to about 5,000 yen. Check out their website, theredhouse.jp.